Well, last week I talked to you about thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And this week, this is part of the scripture for the definition for the kingdom of God. And I kind of delved into that a little bit this week more. So I'm going to pick up from there, and I'm going to tell you the name to the title today to the sermon is Righteousness, Peace, and Joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to have your way. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. I ask you to just pour yourself through me today, Father, or pour yourself out of me, because I know that you dwell inside of me, and I thank you for that. And I ask you to just let me share this word in the simplicity that people will see it and understand it. And I ask you to open the eyes of your people and the ears of your people that they might begin to hold the beauty of you in your word. And you promised that you would honor your word above your name. And we know your name is mighty and it's powerful and it's quicker than any two-edged, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides between soul and spirit and joint and marrow. But I ask you, Father, to just open the eyes of our heart that we might begin to see you and the beauty of you in your word. And we know the word is not just this written word, but the word is alive and powerful, and it's you, because you were made flesh and you dwelt among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Well, like I told you, the title to this sermon today is Righteousness and Peace and Joy in the Holy Ghost. And one of the scriptures I shared with you last week was Romans 14, 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." You know, when I look at scriptures, then sometimes the Lord will have me go back and really take a deep in-dive look at something, you know. And that word there for righteousness, here's what one of the definitions of that word is. It's equity of character or act, a system of jurisprudence transcending natural law. Now, natural law, the law of the flesh is, you poke me, I poke you back. You do something bad to me, I do something bad back to you. But I got news for you. The law of the Spirit is completely different than that. It's a different system of jurisprudence, judging things righteously. Judging things through the eyes of the love of God, not through the eyes of the human nature. Praise God. You know, I like that word equity because equity, you know, we've all bought houses and bought lands and things before. And, you know, when you buy something like that, you start making them payments. And when you first buy that house, you hope it's worth what you paid for it. Sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes you get took a little bit. But you know, the neat thing is if you make enough payments and you stay steady and you do everything you're supposed to, after a while you build up equity. You build up value in that house. And I got news for you. In Christ, as you walk in Him, you build up value. You know, when Jesus looks at you in the Spirit, He looks at you just like the Father looked at Him when He walked on this earth. And He says, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased." And I want you to know He's always well pleased in you. He's even pleased in you when you make a mistake. He loves you enough to where He knows that down the road you're going to repent and you're going to straighten yourself out. Or He's going to straighten you out through the Holy Spirit. You know, we were talking about repentance back there a little bit in Sunday school. We were talking about John the Baptist. where John the Baptist, you know, the people came out to be baptized of him, and that was the baptism of repentance. And you know, when they came out to be baptized of him, all of a sudden Jesus showed up one day, and he told John, he says, you know, I've come to be baptized. And John told him, and I'm paraphrasing this, and John told him, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. He says, suffer it to be so for now, that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Praise God. And you know, Jesus came the same route that we come. But I want you to know that he had the Spirit without measure. And when he come up out of the water, John said he saw the Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And he heard a voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Wow. I'm telling you what, folks, you're going to hear the Father say that of you. He says it, but you just don't hear it all the time, because we have a tendency that we have limited vision at times and limited hearing even at times. But my heart's prayer for all of us is that we begin to function in the five spiritual senses more and start really hearing the Word, hearing God speak to us on a daily basis, seeing what he's doing on a daily basis, feeling, being touched with the feeling of the infirmities of those about us. Because when we're touched with the feeling of those infirmities about us, God moves. You know, I loved Randy's testimony. I don't know if Randy remembers, but I think it was last week when he came up on the platform, and all y'all come up on the platform, ended up coming up here, and we prayed for you, Randy. And I want you to know, God answers prayer. He does, and your testimony is a direct testimony of that. There was others that got prayed for that day. And I got news for you. He said, when two or more of you gather in my name, and he said, if you agree on anything, I'll do it that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And I want you to know he gets glorified. Now, that equity of character or act, you know, Matthew 5:43-48 says this. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And I've got written down here, why do I want to do that? And the next verse says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And this is Jesus talking. And sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How many people know that when God says be you something, it is? You know, in the beginning when he said, let there be light, guess what? There was light. When he said, let there be this, let there be that, let there be whatever on the days of creation, the minute he says, let it be, and I like when we saw it got mentioned up here about letting it be when people were talking, but I got news for you. When he says, let it be, it is. Whether you see it or you don't see it, it doesn't make any difference. It is. Because he said it. Praise God. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect. I love the word perfect. Perfect has the meaning, one of the meanings of the word perfect is a full-aged man. And he wants us to grow up into a full-aged man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the measure of the stature of the fullness of something is no less than it. You know what I'm saying? When Mark was little, he had little feet, big hands and little feet. He was kind of usually if you have big hands, you have big feet, but he had little feet. And he used to tell his mother, he'd say, "Mommy, do you think I'm ever going to be tall?" And she'd say, "Pray real hard, Mark. Pray real hard." Well, it worked because he's taller than me. he's about 6'1" or so, you know. And you know, a lot of times, like with me, I have big feet. You know, I wear almost a 12 and a half shoe, 13 shoe. He wears about a 9 or a 10. But he's got some great big hands. His hands are way bigger. I got pretty good sized hands, but his hands are about that much bigger than mine, you know. But you know what? God answers prayer. And he was exactly the height that God wanted him to be. And he was everything that God wanted him to be, you know. But so many times, you know, when you ask why, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Okay? Now that's kind of covering righteousness there. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to have that system of jurisprudence, of character, act, transcending, going above, way beyond natural law. You know, what did Jesus say? If your enemy slap you, do what? Turn the other cheek and give him the other cheek. That's not easy to do. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that in you. But I tell you what, he can do that. So we know that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So let's take a look at the word peace, okay? And I'm giving you the actual definitions of these words out of the Greek, the original Greek that this was written in. And the word for peace is the word irene. It's I-R-A-Y-N-A-Y, irene, okay? And it means to join. To join. It means peace, by implication, prosperity, one peace, quietness, rest, and I love this, to set at one again. Do you know that when man was first created and he was in the garden, that even in his natural state, he was one with God? It was just him and God. You know, and you know, there wasn't no other human beings according to what the scripture says. And you know, until God took woman out of man, you know, then man began to be incomplete. He was no longer completely one with God because he heard the voice of God in the garden, you know, heard the voice of God. He didn't see God. He heard the voice of God in the garden, and he hid himself, him and his wife. Why? Because he said, because we're naked. And God said, who told you you're naked? Well, he felt that something had departed from him. He didn't feel naked before. He never said he was naked before. Well, I got news for you. The presence of God had kind of lifted from him. He was no longer in that oneness state. And I want you to know that, let's go over this again. It says, the word peace is the word irene. It means to join, it means peace. Literally or figuratively, by implication, prosperity, One peace, quietness, rest, set at one again. 1 Corinthians 16:17 says this, but he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit, to set at one again. He wants us to come back into that oneness where we realize that as we're joined to the Lord, we're one with him. You know, John 17:20-23 says this. He said, neither pray I for these alone, this is Jesus, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one. Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Now listen to this. When is the world going to believe? He says, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The world is not going to believe it until we come to a place where we become one with him. We realize our oneness with him. We acknowledge our oneness with him. And you know, one is one. It's not two. You know, I heard Miles Shepherd say years ago, when he first got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said sometimes he would move and he'd feel like something, like it was almost like two people moving. And I'm going to tell you the truth, that sort of happened to me too. When I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I gave my life to the Lord and he gave me the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I sometimes would feel like if I went like this, there was something moving that wasn't moving exactly when I was, you know. But I got no news for you. That spirit of him is wants to be one with you. It's one with you. Praise God. It said, neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now listen to this. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given it to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Things out in the world are always trying to divide. What's that old saying? Divide and do what? Conquer. Until we come to a place that we can no longer be divided from the knowledge of that we're one with God, guess what was going to happen? We're going to be conquered. We're going to feel like failures. You know, we have to believe what the word declares, for I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any of these other things will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You know, and he said that they may be one, Father, thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given it to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you believe God loves you like he loved Jesus? He does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent him that he might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, the word for one there is a word, it's pronounced hen, H-E-N, hen. That's part of it. It's primary numeral one, and it means, it has the meaning of abundantly man. Adam was not an abundant man. Jesus was an abundant man. He was abundant because he had the Spirit without measure. He was God standing in the flesh. When God said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion, he wasn't talking about Adam. He was talking about Jesus, because he was the firstborn among many brethren. And he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God already knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew how he was going to do it and everything else. It means abundantly man. It means one. It means another. Only some see it. And this word, there's another word there for it. And it's his. His. And it's his, casa, casa, his. Okay, I hope I'm pronouncing them right. And you know what it means? It means one by one. One by one. You know how God changes men? One by one. You think you aren't important? You're important. And that one by one, sometimes he will use you to minister life one to one. And when that one to one, remember what he talked about leaving the 90 and 9 and doing what? Going after the one. And it means one by one. Everyone who comes to God must believe that he is. And that word, he's, I'm going to spell it for you, okay? He's. Here's the way it's pronounced. H-E-I-S. You split that down the middle, what does it say? He is. Everyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when that scripture was written, that he is and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, it could have been the translation of the word he's. He is. Praise God. The next thing is joy there, okay? Let's talk about the word joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, okay? Joy is the word charo. It's C-H-A-I-R-O. That's the way it's spelled, Cairo. All right? It means cheerfulness. It means calm delight. It means gladness. It means greatly, exceeding joy, joyful, joyfully, joyfulness, joyous. That word is translated in the New Testament 51 times. It means gladness. It means joyful, joyous, joyfulness, joyfully. And it also has the meaning of greatly. Greatly joy. You know, the Lord gave me a poem one time, and the poem was about gladness. He said, I've placed my gladness within your heart. I've placed my gladness to give you a new start, to bring you to a greater knowledge of me, to fill you with my spirit and to set you free. When trials would come on every side, my gladness will remain and my joy will abide. When those about you would grumble and complain, if you will but praise me, my joy will reign. And even a river shall spring up from within, flowing out to those who are lost in sin. Praise God. And you know what? I love that word joy there also means gladness. You know, there's some dish detergent that's called joy. And you know, if you just put your dishes in the water, in regular water, and start trying to wash them, it don't work real good. Just water, it don't work very good. But if you take that joy and just put a couple of drops in there, just a little bit, a couple drops, all of a sudden that water will foam up, and that joy will cut through the grease and cut through the dirt and cut through everything, and you get them dishes out of there and they're sparkly clean. But I got news for you. That's the way the joy of the Lord is. What does Scripture say about the joy of the Lord? The joy of, I'll read it to you. Nehemiah 8:10 says this. And he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them that whom have nothing. And I'm going to tell you, the things that God gives you that makes you joyous, you give them to other people too. You're not supposed to just hoard them onto yourself. It says, give unto them that have nothing, is prepared for this day, is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm going to tell you what, anytime that you're feeling weak and you're feeling downtrodden and you're feeling beat down, start praising the Lord. Squeeze that little bottle a little bit and let a couple drops of that joy fall into that water of the Word inside of you. And you watch and see if all of a sudden His strength don't begin to rise up inside of you. That strength that will cut through the grease, the grime, and everything else that's going on in your life. Isaiah 35:10 says this, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I like that word ransomed. You know, when somebody gets, if they get kidnapped, usually the kidnapper will call and they'll say, I need such and such amount of money or I won't let your loved one go or whatever. You know what you're doing? You're paying the ransom. And when you play, and in this day and age, even with computers, bad people will put ransomware on your computer sometimes. And ransomware is, they'll lock up your computer where you can't get in it. And you have to pay them money for them to unlock your computer. It's called ransomware. And I want you to know, you've been ransomed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You were bought with a great price. He paid the price for you. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. You know, why? Because he ransomed you. Praise God. Isaiah 51:3 says this, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Sing unto the Lord. If you're having a bad day and he starts giving you a song, I don't care how bad you sing, sing unto the Lord. You know what? Have you ever heard a little kid sing and sometimes they can't carry a tune in a bucket? But it's so precious. You think, oh, ain't that beautiful? Don't that sound wonderful when it's your little kid or your little grandkid? And maybe they're not that good of a singer, but to you, it's joyous. And when you praise the Lord and sing songs unto Him, He just looks at you in the spirit and says, oh, that's my little Clyde, or that's my little Liz, or that's my little Debbie, you know. And He's saying, I love her. Listen to her singing that song to me. You know, He loves that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Isaiah 51:11-12 says this, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. And we used to sing that song. Great song. And I tell you, it's a true word too. I am he that comforts you. Who art thou that thou wouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? You know, sometimes when you see the word grass there, you know, I don't know about you. I know in my yard, there's not just one blade of grass in my yard. There's tons of blades of grasses. And you know, when I go out to cut the grass, I don't just reach over and cut one blade of grass. The yard is full of it. And I got news for you. I think partially what he's saying there, even the Son of Man, which shall be like the grass, he's going to be everywhere. Jesus was the Son of Man. He acknowledged himself of being the Son of Man and the Son of God too. And in Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3, it says this: The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons unto them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus read that same portion of Scripture out of Isaiah 61 when he started his ministry. He went into the synagogue, and he picked up the Scripture roll, and he started reading that. And it says, and the rest of it says, and the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. He didn't read that part. He stopped when it said, the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. He didn't say the rest of it. And one time the Lord brought my attention to that. And when he brought my attention to that, I said, okay, Lord, why are you drawing me to this Scripture? He said, read the rest of that. And I said, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God. And he said, now ask me how I'm going to get vengeance. What does Scripture say? Vengeance is whose? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Okay? So I said, he said, I felt like the Lord said, now how am I going to get vengeance? And he said, read the rest of it. To comfort all that mourn. My ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far my ways are above your ways. Our ways is, when we go to get vengeance, we want to hurt somebody. We want to treat them bad. But not him. He said, I'm going to get vengeance by comforting all that mourn. To appoint on them that mourn in Zion, and to give on them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, there's your joy again, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I felt like he said, now, okay, why am I going to do that? And then the rest of that says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And why is he doing that? And the rest of it says that he might be glorified. Who be glorified? The Lord. By him doing that, he's going to receive the glory. Praise God. He'll not give his glory to another, but guess what? You're not another. You're not another. You know, when you have kids and you have a pretty good inheritance and you got all this stuff, and guess what? When it comes time for you to go the other way or go see the Lord, what do you usually do? You have a last will and testament made up, and you give them all of the stuff that you accumulated in your life. And guess what? Jesus said, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. I want you to know that as we come into that place of oneness, that place of peace, to be joined to the Lord, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. And it's not going to work as long as we're two spirits. It's got to be one spirit. You know, I don't never say anymore, my spirit and his spirit, and make a division. There's no division there. And if you read Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says there's one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God and Father above us all. One. That was one of the things that was in the Old Testament. The Lord our God is what? One. Quit making him into three. Quit making him into five. Quit making him into whatever the religions out there make him into. He's one. You know, when Jesus, that's why Jesus could tell them, when you've seen me, You've seen who? The Father. I got news for you. As we become one with Him and totally come into that full oneness, guess what is going to happen? When people see you, guess what they'll see? They'll see Jesus. And and by seeing Jesus, they'll see the Father. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today, but I want you to know the kingdom of God. And we pray, Lord, when we pray that prayer, Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. In other words, it's not something out here that you get a hold of. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you know, I like what that word in means. It literally has the meaning of, it's literally like, I'm trying to figure out exactly how to put it. It's like being so focused on something. I can't remember the exact definition of it. I don't have it written down here. But I want you to know it literally has the meaning. Let me look it up real quick. I want to give you that definition because it's a great definition. It'll just take me a second to get it here. Let me give it to you because this is a great definition here for this word. Praise God. Okay, I got it here. Just a second. I should have wrote that down. It's the word hece. It's H-I-C-E. It's pronounced hece. Okay. And it literally has the meaning of it means abundantly man, it needs one, it means but made perfect in one. That's what I'm trying to get for you. I meant now perfect. Okay, let's see. There it is, okay. It's E-N is what it is in Greek for word for one, for in. And it literally has the meaning of a primary preposition denoting a fixed position in place, time, or state by implication, relationship of rest. So when we're in Him, we're in a fixed place of time or state. We're in a position of rest, you know. And that's what it really means to be in Him, you know. And I love that definition because it makes it so much stronger. It's not just the word in, but it's being fixed in that position. You know, when you fix something in a position, you can't move it out of that position. It's going to stay in that position. But anyway, that's all I had to share with you today. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And we'll go back and we'll get something to eat. And I'll pray over the food. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I ask you, Father, to give us all ears to hear what you said to us today out of the scriptures. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's in you, in that fixed position, in that state of rest in you. And Father, I give you the praise and glory. And I ask you, Father, that as we go back to eat today, that you just bless our fellowship back there. Bless the food. Bless the ones that prepared it. And we'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.